Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as Jesus was led into the wilderness, lead us now. Quiet our hearts and help us hear your voice, calling us beloved. Amen. Please do be seated. I don't know if you have ever stood in the wilderness of the Holy Land. I haven't. I have only seen photographs and read descriptions. But I understand it's not an endless soft sand like we might imagine. It's rocky, harsh, and hilly. There are even patches of green in places. But it's not inviting. It's exposed, quiet, unprotected. And it is there, that kind of place that Jesus is led by the Spirit. Not pushed by failure, not driven by sin, not sent as punishment, but led by the Spirit. Matthew tells us Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The word Matthew uses for wilderness means desert, but also a desolate place, solitary place, somewhere stripped bare. A place without distraction, a place cut off from normal support. It's not simply geography, it is exposure. And that's important because every one of us knows something about wilderness. Wilderness may not mean sand and stones for us. It may look like a diagnosis we didn't expect, a relationship under strain, redundancy, loneliness, caring for someone we love, spiritual dryness, a season where prayers feel unanswered. Or perhaps more subtly, we live in a kind of a digital wilderness, a landscape flooded with information, opinion, outrage, and half-truths. A place where it's hard to know what is solid ground and what is shifting sand. Wilderness is any season where the familiar supports fall away, where we feel exposed, where we cannot control the outcome, where we must decide who we trust. And Lent invites us gently into that space, not to punish ourselves, not to prove ourselves, but to be clarified. Notice when this happened for Jesus. It's immediately after his baptism. A voice has just declared, "You are my son, the beloved." It's before he preaches, before he heals, before he gathers disciples. Belovedness comes first. Wilderness comes second. And then come the temptations. Now, those temptations are not ridiculous temptations. They're not cartoon villainous moments. Turn these stones into bread. Now, Jesus is famished. 40 days without food. Bread is not evil. Hunger is real. Bodies matter. Feeding people matters. But the question underneath is deeper. Will you define your life by immediate appetite? Will you use your power to secure yourself? Jesus answers, "One does not live by bread alone." Then throw yourself down from the temple. Prove who you are. Let the angels catch you. Silence doubt. Remove ambiguity. Make faith spectacular. How tempting that is, even now, to want clarity, certainty, visible proof. But Jesus refuses religious theatre. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And finally, all the kingdoms of the world can be yours. Imagine the good that you could do with that power. Imagine justice imposed swiftly. Imagine control. But Jesus will not worship power in order to wield it. In every temptation, the devil says, if you are the Son of God. That's the real test. Will Jesus grasp at identity, or will he rest in the belovedness already spoken over him? And here, Romans speaks into the picture. Paul tells us that through one man's trespass came condemnation, but through one man's obedience comes life. Adam grasped, Christ trusted. Adam reached for what was not given. Christ received what was already spoken. The wilderness is about trust. Let me offer a modern day picture. I know someone who realized they were spending hours each evening scrolling through news and social media feeds. Headlines, outrage, commentary, stories designed to provoke reaction. She found herself becoming anxious, reactive, certain of her own rightness, quick to judge. She described it as standing in a storm of voices. So for Lent, she made a simple decision. She removed the apps from her phone. Not because technology is evil, not because information is bad, but because she needed some space. She replaced 20 minutes of scrolling with 10 minutes of scripture and 10 minutes of silence. At first, it felt empty, restless, like withdrawal. But slowly something shifted. She became less reactive and more patient, less certain that she had to have an opinion on about everything, and more aware of God's presence beneath the noise. There were no fireworks, no dramatic visions, but the wilderness did its work. The devil departed, angels ministered, quiet faithfulness. Wilderness for us may not be dramatic suffering. It may simply be choosing not to grasp, not to react, not to prove. Perhaps this Lent, the temptation is not chocolate or wine. Perhaps it's addressing our tendency to have unkind thoughts or pride, to notice our quiet superiority that makes us feel better than someone else. Perhaps we need to address our need to control outcomes, our need to win arguments, our need to secure ourselves. The temptations Jesus faces are plausible shortcuts. Act now, fix it now, prove it now, control it now. But Jesus refuses premature glory. There will be bread, but broken and shared at a table. There will be revelation, but on a cross. There will be a kingdom, but it will grow like seed in soil, not domination from a throne. Trusting God in whatever season we find ourselves in today does not mean pretending the wilderness is pleasant. Jesus was famished. Trust means remembering whose we are when everything else is stripped away. It means resisting the story that says you must prove yourself, you must secure yourself, you must control the outcome. Lent does not begin with self-improvement. It begins with identity. You are beloved. The wilderness does not take that away. It reveals whether we believe it. And so perhaps this week, instead of asking, what shall I give up? We might ask, where am I tempted to grasp? Where am I trying to act too soon? Where am I anxious for control? And where might God be inviting me simply to trust? The wilderness is not where God abandons us. It is where false supports fall away. It is where we learn, sometimes slowly, sometimes painfully, that we do not live by bread alone. And the end of the story, the angels come and they minister. Grace follows faithfulness. So whatever season you're in, whether it feels rocky and exposed or simply quiet and uncertain, this Lent is not about proving anything. It is about trusting the one who has already called you beloved. And from that place, a truer vocation, a deeper faith, and a quieter strength can unfold. Let's pray. Lord God, meet us in our wilderness places. Teach us to trust you, to rest in your love, and to walk faithfully with you this Lent. Amen.